God who's the head of my life, to each and every one in the respective places. God bless you. Amen. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I'm reading from the King James Version. Are we there? All right. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, and Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lo, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Amen. For the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. I read all that so you all can get a full understanding of what I'm getting ready to teach y'all. We need to learn how to walk in God's promise. We live in a different time and in a different culture, but we share certain common things that Abraham shared. We live in a faith relationship with God. You got to have faith in God. And you got to have a relationship with God. God has made some amazing and awesome promises to us. Amen. And those, and through those promises, he has enabled us to put our faith in them and live our lives according to His will. The faith we have in God's promise and the action that are produced by our faith in God's promises are God's work in us. That is why we walk in God's promises. Abraham didn't do anything special to make God select him. Okay? The Lord just simply chose Abraham. Okay? And in the undeserved love, God came to Abraham to make a covenant with him. Okay? It was an agreement that they came together with. Abraham wasn't like he was just outstanding guy. Okay? Because the Bible says we all have sin. Okay? So he wasn't like he was without sin. God decided to shower his love on Abraham and give him blessing after blessing. But it's been 10 years since God had made him this promise. And sometimes we think that when God has delayed or it's been such a while since God has given us a promise, we feel as though God has forgotten about us. But that's not the case. And so we begin to struggle with what we are looking at and what we are dealing with. And now we start to meditate on our struggle. But if you have ever felt that way, basically what I'm saying is that you're in good company, because you're not the only one that has dealt with this. This is why it's always good to talk to those who have gone on the road ahead of you. Because when they're coming back, you can ask them what it's about. You know, years ago, I remember traveling out of town before cell phones was in cars. They had CBs. And the CBs were basically, if somebody is traveling, if they're like 15 or so miles ahead of you or whatever the case may be, they'll let you know that, hey, there's an accident ahead. You may want to take an alternative route. Amen? You may want to go a different way. I mean, those what CBs were for back then, or you hear them doing that. I don't know the CB talk, so don't judge me. You know, they'll say, hey, there's a Smokey, ahead. You know, kind of slow your speed down if you're going 90. Amen? So basically, you need somebody who has been through something to be able to tell you something. Amen? Amen. If ain't nobody been through nothing, ain't nothing they can tell you. Amen? So, but here's the thing, you know, so after these things, what it means by after these things is after Abraham's battle with the kings and his encounter with Melchizedek, God reassures Abraham of his promise to him, the promise of offsprings and the promise of the land. So we are told the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. That means, fear not, Abraham, for I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. God is basically saying, Abraham, I'm your protector. I'm the one that's going to take care of you. I got you, Abraham, on this. You don't have to worry about this. The word of the Lord came is used in the Old Testament when God usually speaks to his prophets. Abraham's shield, that's God's way of protecting him against any retaliation. Let me tell y'all something. You a child of God. And if somebody wants to do something to you, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord. He'll repay. I'm not trying to, brag on myself, but there were times where I was on the job and I'm doing the best that I can. But then I had, a boss that just decided they wanted to pick on me. And in my innocence, and when I'm saying in my innocence, I'm not saying, anything but what I'm saying, I didn't do anything wrong, but decided to pick on me, and in her picking on me, God was letting me know to keep your mouth shut. And just in case I didn't hear God, he sent a prophet to me to say, keep your mouth shut. That's how bad God is. Because God knows that my mouth is getting ready to do something. And so God said, sent the prophet to me. God said, keep your mouth shut. He'll take care of it. Don't y'all know that God removed that boss from me? I ain't have to do anything. If I had did something, I probably would have got fired. Just in case y'all didn't know, HR is always on the boss's side. I'm just letting you know. They gonna side with the boss. You can be just as right as you want to be, but HR is going to side with that boss. That's just what they do. So you got to let somebody with a higher power deal with this situation. Y'all understand what I'm saying? If you want somebody to deal with HR, then let God get involved. Because God going to take care of HR. So here it is. Then we see Abraham. He's struggling. Y'all, you struggling. Abraham struggled. He's known as the father of faith. He struggled. Childless. He said, Lord, I'm going through something now, man. I don't have a child. I'm here up in age, and y'all, I don't have a child yet. You know, everybody, I'm looking at these people over here. They got children. They playing around here and everything. Got my wife. She's still, you know, upset because we have no children. And back in those days, you were judged based on what you had. And what you didn't have. So just in case you think that, oh, it ain't no big deal, it was. They made fun of you if you didn't have children. So we have to take ourselves out of this society and put ourselves in their society. Because when you take yourself out of this society and put yourself in their society, man, they were cruel. So here it is, Abraham is saying, you know, all I got is this servant, you know, with me, you know, Elijah, you know, of Damascus. I know you promised me a son, but it has been almost 10 years and Sarah is well past childbearing age. Lord, I don't see it any other way because we cannot. This is why many people have problems right today worshiping God. Because they have a problem of not seeing. They have a problem of not seeing. This is why churches are not as packed as they should be, because people are a sight-driven people. They want to see it to believe it. Abraham couldn't see how God was going to do it, but God being God already knew how he was going to do it. Many times that we come to this point in our life where we can't see it, that is the best thing right there at that moment, because that lets God come in and show his power. Amen? It allows God to come in and show his glory. So Abraham is struggling with trusting God and so looking for a way to help God out. How many of y'all done that before? Don't raise your hand, because folks gonna look at you. And then folks will be saying to you, are you helping God out again? You know, so when you do something, they'll be looking at you funny. So here it is, you know, Abraham is struggling. And, you know, when there's a delay, we think that, okay, God has forgotten about me, so I need to think about how I'm going to do this. See, the apostle tells us that the life of faith is a fight to trust God's promises. We got to fight to trust. You know, here's my thing. I got a lot of people that say they don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. God came down here. Yeah, you expect me to believe that he did all this? You know what? I'm just going to trust that he did. Amen? I'm going to believe that he did. It's a fight of my faith, but I'm going to trust him. And like Charles Stanley said, well, what are you going to do? I'm still going to trust him. And Charles Stanley, they asked him another way. I'm still going to trust him. I'm just going to trust God. And I'm just going to see what it's going to be like at the end. I'm just going to hang my faith on the trust. God said it, I'm done with it. The only way you will win this fight in your heart is by finding your strength in God. That's the only way you're going to win. Let me tell you something. If you're not reading the word of God, if you're not studying God's word, you're not meditating on God's word, if you listen to all these news reporters and all these naysayers out here, let me tell you something. You begin to disbelieve what the word of God says. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now, and you listen to the news, they don't believe in God. But they'll certainly say, well, you know, I'll get you in my prayers. Or they'll say something to that magnitude. Well, who are you praying to? Y'all understand what I'm saying? They don't want to acknowledge God. They don't want to talk about God. But when some tragedy happens, they'll say, well, we are praying for you. Who are you praying to? Because not everybody is praying to the same God. I want y'all to know that. What am I saying? There's only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? That's the only God. But other people got other gods that they worship. See, in our culture, many people believe in God but do not trust him. Sometimes we may fall into that group. And at times, all of us are in that group. You know, and I'm just going to let you all know, I hear things, but I don't comment or I don't say anything. So, I mean, I'm in my office meditating, and so I heard, you know, not a bad thing, but I heard Minister Cora, she was real. She said, you know, sometimes you get to the point where you want to cuss. Not curse, cuss. We are human. You get to that point where people drive you that way. Y'all remember that lady that was following Paul, was making fun of him, kept going. What did Paul? He turned around, he got her. He went in on her. You keep poking that bear gonna pop you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And then, see, this is my point that I want to make here. And I heard this earlier this week. You know, when somebody slap you and you slap them back, now they get mad because you slapped them back. Now they want to measure the slap. But you slap first. A slap is a slap. Y'all, am I right? If I'm not right, then let me just get on that. I mean, a slap is a slap. You slap me first, then I slap you back. Now you mad. Don't get mad at me if I slap back. Now we want to measure a slap. You ain't have to hit me that hard, but you slap me. Amen. Don't we do that? Now we want to measure the slap. I remember my brother slapped somebody, put a print on their face. You can see it. It was up there. Well, he did slap you. I mean, I looked at it, and I was like, okay, go on and play somewhere or whatever. But see, God comes in, and he addresses Abraham's struggle. Isn't that a blessing? When you are struggling with something, God come in and say, come on now, what you dealing with? What you struggling with? You know, my son, I noticed something different about my son yesterday. He wasn't like his cheery, fiery self. He was just kind of cool, you know, just kind of laid back. I was like, hold on, something ain't right. I said, something not right. So I went to Jeremiah, and I just kind of grabbed him, and I hugged him, and kissed him on his forehead. I said, Jeremiah, what's going on with you, man? I said, you all right? He said, I'm just not feeling good. He said, my throat is hurting me. And I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what, we're going to call it today. I said, just go upstairs later. What I'm saying is, I noticed something different about him. I noticed that he was struggling with something. God sees us like that. God knows that. He said, oh, Brother Moore, I see you struggling with something. I see somebody have made an all-out attack on you, and it just got you burdened down. I'm going to have to deal with that. God is looking at the way that his child is. God don't want us like this. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I remember years ago, man, goes back to the boss that I was underneath. And man, I was just really not myself. And I was walking into the Salvation Army down there in East St. Louis. And I was my posture when I was walking into the building, and I ain't seen this lady in years. And this lady, I mean, I was going to an event for the job. And you want to talk about a 911 situation. This lady came, and I thank God for her to this day. She came and she said, hey, what's going on with you? I said, she said, come here. Brought me, took me over in this room, started praying for me. She said, the way that I see you right now, that's not what I'm accustomed to seeing. She said she didn't know what was going on, but she knew enough to see my posture. And my posture was down like this in the spirit, even though I was walking like this. But she saw the spirit man being wounded. So she grabbed me, put me in the other room, and started praying for me. She said, this is not you under attack. See, when you are in the spirit, y'all can't tell me God ain't real. When you're underneath the spirit, this lady didn't know what was going on. I ain't say anything to her. She just saw me walking in a building and saw my spirit man was under attack. She grabbed me and ministered to me. Praise be to God for that lady who was walking in the spirit. That's the way we should be on this Christian journey. When you see somebody that's down, you should immediately grab them. Do CPR on them. Revive them. Bring them back to life. That's what God needs. He needs some medics, somebody that's experienced in and knowing how to revive a soul. God see that Abraham is struggling. He see what Abraham is dealing with. God lets Abraham know, behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. God sent the word to his servant. This man will not be your heir. God said, I know what you're looking at. I know what you're getting ready to do, Abraham. I know your thoughts from afar off, but I'm letting you know that ain't going to happen. I'm going to do it my way. See, we already got our plans on what we want to do, but God said, I got my plans. And let me tell you, whatever you do, if it's not God's will, that stuff that you do is going to come back and get you. Oh, it's going to come and get you. Okay? Now you're going to get mad, but God's still going to bless. But what I'm saying is, your doing is going to get you. And when it gets you, don't blame God. Blame yourself for getting in the way of God. You need to move yourself out of the way so God can do what he needs to do. Y'all ever seen somebody who were trying to do something and they wasn't doing it right, and you get somebody who know what they doing, says, bag going out of the way. Let me get this. And they do it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Using a wrong tool on a particular object, and you look and say, oh, you ain't got nothing there. You ain't got nothing there. Let me, I got something. You know, my uncle would do me like that every now and then. He has a nice way of doing it. He'd be like, let me see what you're working with. He'd be like, all right. He said, this how you do it. Yeah, I got something for you. Yeah, like he in church, you know. I love y'all. Yeah, like we in church. He put that finger up. Let me get over here and get you. And he'll come back and he'll say, this right here, this work. See, this will get that. See, look at that. See, he get right down in there. He look at you. I'm telling you, am I right? I said, am I right? Am I right? He know I'm right. He come over there. So if you ain't using something that's right, he gonna look at you. Okay, he gonna do you like this. Y'all gonna remember that. He gonna do you like this. That's that finger. He can't get rid of that finger. Y'all want me to get him? There we go. Watch when he get ready to leave out. I'm in the book. Watch when he get ready to leave, that finger. Y'all gonna see that finger again. He love that finger. We still cool, huh? And we still having dinner, right? We still having dinner, right? Listen to what I'm saying. God said, I would give you a son. What we need to do is be patient with God. God can say something will happen because God makes it happen. God can make it happen. God is asking Abraham to trust his future in my hands.
Come on, this is the best investment you got. Put your trust in me, Abraham. I'm the best investment you can have on this earth. The issue for Abraham and many of us is just simply patience. We can't be patient. You know, when I go shopping with my wife, you know, I'm ready. As soon as we get in there, I'm ready to go. That's the wrong attitude to have. That's why she don't want to go shopping with nothing, me or the kids. So she go in there, she can take her time because she's going to do inventory on the whole entire store. So when I go in there, I grab what I want and I'm done. And ain't really, you know, ain't looked at no price or nothing. There it is right here. My wife's like, hold up. So you got some coupons? Or she looking on her phone, looking for coupons. I'm like, I ain't got time for all that. But patience. It's a waiting game, y'all. When you deal with God, God takes Abraham outside and said, come here. Come here. He said, come here. Let me show you something. He takes him outside. He said, look at the stars. He said, count the stars if you can. So shall your offsprings be, Abraham. If y'all ever been in the country, you know, they say you go outside at night, you can see the stars. And you see the stars out there, try to count them. And you're going to be like, hold on, did I get that one? And you're like, hold on, okay, let me start over. Okay, there's on one, there's two. You ain't going to get four. It's too many. But God is letting him know. God has said, I created all those stars where the eye can see, and the same power that created those stars will create life in Sarah's womb. God said, I create life in her womb. He said, trust my word and stop trying to make it happen for you. Stop trying to make it happen. God said, let me do this. See, there's some things we need to leave it up to the professionals. Even on TV, they tell you, now don't do this. Amen. Y'all ever heard them advertise that? Leave it up to the professionals. Let the professionals. So I'm saying to you, leave it up to God. Let God do this. You know, all God wants you to do is be faithful and pray. Okay? And obedient. That's all God wants. So, struggling is something that we all deal with. Maybe you don't trust God, but God has the power to deal with some issues and some problems in your life. So you think you are going to have to, you know, do this in your own hands. With that promise, Moses gives us this. He believed the Lord, and he was counted to him as righteousness. I'm just going to believe God. Some of you are sitting here today praying to God about something, asking God for something. God already knows what you need and what you want. He even said, I will supply all your needs. What you need, God already knows. All God wants you to do. See, the problem with us is that we're looking for the hand of God, but we don't want to get down into it. Abraham trusted his future in God's. He made an investment. So I'm in trust. How many of y'all wish that y'all had to put some money in Microsoft or Amazon? You see what I'm saying? But see, when they first getting started, you know, about like, I ain't trying that. But now you wish, oh man, if I wish I could go back. And when Amazon first started or Microsoft first got going, man, I wish I could have got some stock in that. You see what I'm saying? See, you look back. But see, I'm telling you right now, you don't have to do that right now. You can put your trust in Jesus right now. Amen? And the stock would be good. Amen? Just all you got to do is just say, Lord, I put my trust in you. Everything that I have, your investment is good. It's going to be better than Microsoft. It's going to be better than Amazon. It's the best stock you could ever get. All you got to do is just put your trust over there. Abraham trusted God. That is the gospel. I trust my future in God's hands. Many people don't believe in afterlife. I do. I believe that this soul is going somewhere. Amen. This body, I know where the body is going. I seen that go in the ground. But the soul is on the inside that you can't see. It's going to depart from this body, and it's going to go to some, it's going somewhere to live eternally. It's going to either be two places, heaven or hell. That's it. There is no in-between. We're in in-between right now. The body and the soul is together. But when they separate, one is going in the ground, the other one is going to hell or is going to heaven. It's just that simple. I can't say it any other way because the Bible doesn't say it any other way. I can only preach what I hear and what I see. So we need to get together right now and say, I'm making an investment today. And go on and call folks and say, hey, guess what? I made a huge investment. It was better than Microsoft. It was better than Amazon. And then they'll say, well, what you do? I purchased some stock in the Lord. Put my trust in him. You're a Christian, a follower of Christ, by trusting God and not by what you do. Doing grows out of trusting. Trusting is the root. What you do is the fruit. Amen? God has reassured Abraham of the promise of an offspring. Now God reassures him of the promise of land, too. See, that's one thing about God. God will reassure you of your policy, of your account. I had my my insurance agent call me in and say, I just want to go over your policy again. So you can understand what you got. So you can understand what's covered. God was letting Abraham know, I want to assure you what is being covered. What is in this agreement that we have. So the Lord said in verse 7, I am the Lord who brought you up out from the land of Ur, of Chaldees, to give you this land to possess. God chose Abraham and rescued him from an adulterous people. The language is the same language of the Exodus when God brought Israel out of Egypt. Abraham struggled with this promise, and he struggled with it. He said, how am I to know that I will possess it? Abraham left everything for the promise of the land, but he has been 10 years, nothing has happened. We all been there before. God has made a promise, and all of a sudden we're dealing with something, we're struggling with it. So God responds patiently to Abraham in his struggle. He tells Abraham to bring a heifer, female goat, a ram, all 3 years old, and as well as a turtle dove and a young pigeon. So he gets them and cuts them in half, except for the birds, and lays them out, forming two rows. God is making this covenant with Abraham. A covenant is an agreement between two parties binding themselves to one another. The two parties will slaughter the animals, then lay them out and walk between them, mingling their lives together by the blood. If either one party broke the covenant, listen to this, they would face the same fate as the animals. God is guaranteeing you. Now, I want y'all to oh my that for a moment, because there is a blessing on the other side of the oh my. Amen. So God is guaranteeing the promise by binding himself to Abraham with his covenant. Abraham waited for the covenant ritual. God is teaching him patience. Faith often leaves with delays. As night fell, a great and dreadful sleep fell upon Abraham, which pictures the judgment of God against sin. See, God's going to deal with sin, y'all. I'm going to tell you, take yourself as a parent. Your child do something wrong. My grandfather used to say, keep on, I'm going to get you. We back there, let's just no disrespect, sinning. He walked by again. Keep on. I'ma get you. You being warned. My point is, at some point in time, judgment is gonna fall upon the room. Amen. It's gonna fall upon that section of the house. We don't know when, but we've been warned. Amen. Back there, cutting up, bouncing off the walls, doing all kind of stuff, but we've been warned by the house. So my point is, God is saying, I'm going to deal with Israel's sin. The Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that your offspring will be pilgrims, Israel, in a land that is not theirs. That's in Egypt for 400 years. But I will bring judgment upon the nation. Bring your offspring out of the great possession. God is referring to Israel going to Egypt to live, then becoming slaves, and God delivering them from Exodus. But as for you, Abraham, you shall go to your father in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. That is saying, Abraham, I got you. I got you, man. You ain't got to worry about that. I got you. So don't fret over that stuff, Abraham. When the sun went down and another day passed, the smoking, the fire pot, and the flaming torch passes between the animals, representing God's presence. Normally, both parties would pass between the animals, but only God does it here. This is the old my. God takes responsibility for both parties of the covenant. If either party breaks the covenant, God will pay the price, which he did in his son, oh my, Jesus Christ. He did it in Jesus. That's the oh my. Christ became a man and walked between death and took the curse of the covenant for us. He paid the price by his blood. And in so doing, he established a new covenant, fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant, so that all who put their faith in Christ become sons of Abraham. God is securing his promise that will ultimately be fulfilled in Christ. We can have confidence in our struggle of faith because God is faithful to his promise. He's faithful to his promise. So what we need to do is walk in God's promise. A promise is a declaration of assurance that one will do a particular thing or that guarantees a particular thing will happen. Only God can guarantee any particular thing that will happen. We all are accustomed to promises. We all are accustomed to seeing them made and broken. Anyone who has lived a number of years know that for certain they lay claim to having kept the promise. They have not kept all their promises. There are many reasons why this is true, because sometimes we forget about a promise. Sometimes we are negligent to a promise, and sometimes it pays to us to understand that when you make a promise, you got to fulfill it. Sometimes people make a promise that they owe you money. I'm going to pay you back. Now, here's the thing. Don't get upset if this person don't pay you back. I mean, literally, here's what I'm going to tell you how to reverse that. It's like looking at a glass half empty, half full. Well, look at it this way. If that person has not paid you back, then the money was well worth it. Think about it. They ain't going to come ask you no more. Amen? If they ain't paid you back, if you gave him $5, don't lose friendship, don't lose family over that. Right. No, it was enough to get them to leave you alone. Right. Amen? Right. Because in their mind, I owe him $5. I can't go ask him for $5 anymore. So guess what? They're going to go hook up with such and such, and they may be $100. So if they don't pay you back, don't get upset. $5 was worth it. It only took $5 to get rid of you. You could have did that a long time ago. Oh, sorry, I went too far. I went too far in my notes. I was supposed to edit that. Can you scratch that part? Just kind of put a pause there. Promises are broken. Many times I see, people say they're going to get married, but they don't get married. But the woman would say, he promised. But the guy can say, I changed my mind. I just changed my mind. But we have a promise from God. God promised to pardon us. Isn't that a blessing? We are a promise of the pardon. God had promised that his grace is sufficient for us. In 1 John chapter 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us the sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has given us the promise of pardon, okay? The promise of preservation. God has promised that those who believe in Jesus will be saved. That's a promise. If you look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does disbelieves will be condemned. If you reject Jesus, you are condemned. In fact, he said he has made provision for our salvation by grace through faith. If you read Ephesians chapter 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The promise of his presence. God has given us the promise of his presence. So you're never alone. God has promised us that he will be with us always. He said he will be with us always. Matthew 28:20, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of time. God said, now you got that promise. Many people break their promise. When you need them, are they there? Can you get them? Sometimes people look at their phone and say, oh, shoot. Nah, I ain't going to take this call right now. Y'all follow what I'm saying? We ain't there. Because you know that, oh, man, yeah, I did promise them that. But, man, I can't do that right now. You know what I'm saying? We make promises. We can't fulfill them. And here's the thing. God said he will be with us to the end. The promise of provision. He has promised to supply every need we have. Now, those needs are not like these televangelists who need two airplanes. And they're only one person. You don't need two airplanes. You want your congregation to buy you another airplane for real? For what? God said, I ain't trying to supply that need. But see, that televangelist would say, God said he'll supply my, they do like this. This is what they do. When they really want something, God said he'll supply my every need. Y'all know that's how they do it? He'll supply my every need. So he's telling y'all gonna supply the need. Because y'all gonna give some more, I need y'all to give some more money. That's what they do. They need another jet. They already got one in storage, but they want another one. Because the one down the street got two. So now they want two, and they got a bigger congregation than them. God didn't say he was gonna supply that need. But if you are in need of shelter, he'll be your shelter in a time of storm. If you're in need of food, he'll supply that for you because he's the bread of life. God is saying, I will supply it. He ain't talking about all this luxury stuff that these rich people got and flaunting over and messing over money. God ain't talking about that kind of need. Get your mind off of that. That's how people mess, that's how they mess up the scriptures. Take it out of content. God ain't talking about this materialistic stuff that you are dealing with, trying to look like the people next door. God ain't talking about that. God has promised that his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, he assures us that a way of escape will be provided. You can rely on God's promises. the promises of power over death. God has promised us victory over death. He first resurrected Jesus by way of assuring his resurrection. He's saying that the same thing is going to happen to us. He says, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? God has given us the victory over that. Many of these politicians right now are campaigning on what? A promise. A promise that they ain't going to be able to keep. I promise you that. I promise you they ain't going to be able to keep that promise. Let me tell you how. Think about this. If it's a, whether it be whatever party it is, it don't matter. Democrat, Republican, Independent, it don't matter. If you don't have, if the Democrats don't have the votes, guess what? That promise that that man ran on, or that woman ran on, denied. It's going to get denied because that party's going to stick with that party. If you don't have the votes, you ain't getting, you ain't going to get it. No disrespect, but I guarantee you, listen to this. It was said that Trump didn't have the votes in the Senate House. But all of a sudden, overnight, he got the votes. Somebody gave a little pocket change. I don't mean no disrespect, but I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm under the anointing. If you ever want to know the answer to something, follow the money. Follow the money. These are wealthy people playing with our lives. Y'all know what I'm saying? They playing with our lives. Follow that money. Overnight, matter of a couple of days, all of a sudden, they got the votes. Hey, man, I'm going to give you something for your district. What you need? You need that? I'm going to push that through now. Yeah, I'm on a committee. I got you, man. Don't worry about it. We just need you to vote this way. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all know that's the way that stuff works. If people don't like the way I'm preaching, I need to sit down. But I'm not. God's promises are 100% reliable. Sometimes men make promises that they have no intention on keeping. But God is not that way. People make you a promise, say, hey, I got you. I got you. Yeah. And when you need them, what? I ain't say that. No, I ain't say that. No, man, I'm talking about something else. I don't know what you're talking about. You ain't gone somewhere with that. That's how we do each other. You need that person. You need some help. Not to say any names, but I remember years ago, a brother and I was waiting on a job at the railroad. Had an individual say he got us. Man, if I was still waiting on that individual, I'd still be living with my mom. And that person has since then retired. Do we still say, I called him, you still got me? Made a promise. This is, I'm telling the truth. Made a promise. I got you. And we believe that promise. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We believe that promise. But in that believing, we wasn't stagnant. We were working. Amen? If it had came up, we could have took it. But because it didn't come up, it didn't hurt us. Y'all follow what I'm saying? That I'm talking about man's promise that is broken and don't come through. Sometimes, again, we make promises and then forget. Sometimes we didn't forget. We know we made the promise. We just don't want you to know we. I mean, let's just be real, y'all. I mean, that's what we up here. We just be real. We know we made the promise, but you hoping that you don't bring it up. Y'all ever seen anybody cut their eye at you? They reading you. They like, they looking at the corner of your eye. They trying to see if you're going to come up to them and talk to them about that. They really don't want you to come, but they looking at you. It was like, oh, there's so-and-so over here. And they start making their way to the, they go to the exit right there. They start making their way to the exit. Politicians, advertisers, friends and coworkers, and even family members sometimes make promises that are not kept. You and I could not honestly say that we have always kept every promise
that we have ever made, but it is different with God's promises. God is not subject to any of man's weakness or limitations. He's not going to forget. Amen? He's not limited. He don't have to answer to anybody. He don't have to go to Congress. Amen? He doesn't have to go to the United Nations. Is this okay if I bless these people over here? Y'all okay with that? Y'all cool with that? No. God does not have to do that. Why? Because all power is in his hands. See, when a king comes, that's why he don't label himself as a president. He labels himself as a king. See, when a king comes, a king has all power, has authority with him. The purpose of God's promises. In other words, what are those promises meant to accomplish? The answer to that depends on the individual promise. But different promises have different purposes. Warning promises. Some of God's promises are intended to warn us. He's warning us right now. The doors of the church is open. Give your life to Christ while it is the acceptable time. He even has somebody to write a song while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come on now. This is what God is saying. He's giving warnings. You even had, was a rich man, Divers, who was in, who was gone, wanted to come back and tell other people about it. He said, no, you ain't coming back from the dead. Because I got prophets and I got ministers up there. If they ain't believing them, they ain't going to believe you coming back from the dead. I'm already teaching them. If somebody came back from the dead, y'all still won't believe them. Oh, they were just passed out. Y'all understand what I'm saying? People want this extraordinary, miraculous miracle when God is saying right now is the acceptable time to give your life to Christ. He's warning us. There's going to come a time, you know, like we warn the students, you got to be on time. If you're not on time, the testing center is going to shut the doors. And if you don't make it in time, they're not going to unlock the doors for you. When they say be there at a certain time, you need to be in your seat ready to go, not coming. They lock them doors on them students, and all we can do is say reschedule. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We warn them not to be late. Saving promise. Great numbers of God's promises are designed to lead people to salvation, and many of those promises are pointed and direct. We need to understand God has laid it out for us. I mean, he laid it out so plain, a blind man ain't gonna miss it. A fool wouldn't err. But the problem with us is we don't want to believe. We don't want to believe. Motivating promises. Other promises that God had made are intended to motivate us to right living. God is motivating us, encouraging us on this Christian journey. Paul wrote, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Don't keep doing what you're doing. You say you saved and act like it. Amen? Because, you know, everybody be watching the preacher. They be waiting on me to do something that ain't right. They looking at me. I had somebody at work, they say, well, you can't do this. How you gonna tell me what I can't do? Are you a child of God? If you a child of God, you can't do it either. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They already told me I can't do it. But then the same qualification is for them. The only difference is God has put me on a higher standard. It's like when your parents leave and the children at home, the oldest one is in charge. Now, if here's the thing. If anything goes down, everybody's in trouble. Not just one person. Everybody's in trouble. But the punishment comes more severely on the oldest because they ought to know better. If you are 5 or 10 years older than your siblings, my God, you should at least have some respect, some decency
to know that that is wrong, and that's why you were left in charge. God is saying the same standard is across the board for everybody. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't look at me as a pastor or preacher and say, well, he can't do this. He can't do this. Or no, you can't do that either. No, I just mess when I do anything. I don't just sit there. I ain't dead. Right. Amen. I ain't dead. Right. I'm still alive. I know how to conduct myself. I know how to go in and come out. But we need to stop labeling people, saying what they can and cannot do. You can't do it either. If you're a child of God, they're looking at you as a representation. When I go out there with my company, I got their name on me. Whatever I say or do can be held against me and the company. I have to be careful what I say to them. They be trying to bait you into saying stuff, so when can we expect payment? I'm not guaranteeing you no payment. Not if you didn't send your claims in correctly. You putting me out there. No. You pay your claims right. Y'all see what I'm saying? But they want you to say, when can we expect payment? When can you bill it correctly? No disrespect, y'all, but I'm just being honest with you. When you are working for your company and you go out in the field, you're representing your company. Anything you say is a reflection on your company. If you are a child of God, anything you say or do is a reflection on the kingdom. So you have to understand how to conduct yourself. That's why it's hard for people to be saved, because they see Christians acting like the world. They can't tell the difference. God gives us promises to confront us in times of adversity and pain. He healeth the broken in heart and binding up their wounds. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Y'all better understand, God's got us. All of us at times are cast down and depressed, but God has given us a promise to lift us up and encourage us. That's why I said, as Christians, we get beat up so much all the time. We need to encourage one another in the house. If there's any place you should be encouraged, it's in the house of prayer. We should encourage one another. Send a text message to somebody and say, God loves you, thinking about you. Send a loving text message. We got more communication this day and age, and we don't communicate. Nobody's asking you to sit down and write out a letter and put a stamp on it, take it to the post office, put it in the snail mail, is what they call it now, and let it get there. No. I remember when my cousins went into the military and they was overseas, and man, you mail them something, be like, did you get it yet? Did you get it yet? Did you get it yet? My thing now, you can text them. And if you got the same plan, it's even better. As I close, we need to walk in the promises of God. One person promised to do this or that. The person on the other side of the agreement also promised to fulfill the agreement. So a covenant typically has two sides. And we need to understand that in this two sides, there's an agreement. You all have an agreement that you made with God. You said, Lord, I surrender to you. I give my life to you. If that be true, you have an agreement with God. And if you have that agreement with God, you need to keep that covenant. Revisit, amen, your agreement with God. Every now and then, you know, we have agreements with doctors and hospitals. Every now and then, before I go out and I deal with this particular entity, guess what I do? I look at that contract. I look and see what's in the contract. So, because everybody's contract is not the same. But when I look at the contract, I'm looking at the policies that's within the contract. And I'm looking at, so if they say anything that's contrary to the contract, I can call them on it. And I can say to them, that's not in the contract. But I can say to them, this is in the contract. I had to do that on several occasions. What I'm saying to you is revisit your agreement that you made with God. Clean it up. Fix it. If you did something wrong, say, Lord, I'm sorry. It don't take much to get back right with God. All you got to say, Lord, I surrender my all to you. Amen. Doors of the church is open. Doors of the church is now open. We extend an invitation to Christ. Doors of the church is open.